All right, so we're going to continue in our series of John. In this section, we're going to do, Pastor Hong did a great job of talking about and expounding on Jesus as the light. And what I'm going to move into is Jesus being the truth, the way and the life, but abiding in his truth, abiding in the word. But I am going to recap, so just in case you weren't able to hear, you weren't here, or you just kind of forgot, just to refresh you on some things. And I'm just going to lay out some things before I get right into the text that we're going to deal with today. So a place to abide securely. So following the light of Jesus and submitting to his authority. John 8:28 says this. Jesus said to them, and this is after he talked about being the light that Pastor Arnold preached about. When you have lifted up the Son of Man, you will know that I am he and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. So we see our Lord in submission to his Father. For us, being reflectors of the light of Christ, our influence hinges on submitting to his authority and letting him be our guide, right? And I ask you, how is God teaching you to reflect his light in your current situation in life? Is that even in your mind? Because that's what the Bible will say will be, we got sober thinking because we have a mind state of the kingdom of God, right? Mindful of our witness and testimony in Christ. A lack of influence or reflection to the light of Christ exposes our rebellion, not only to his authority, God's authority, but any authority, not just God, but anyone's authority. Rebellion extends beyond not just wanting certain people to have authority over us, but extends to anyone having authority over us. So a lot of times we like to make excuses why we don't submit to authority, right? But the reality is, a lot of times my heart is the problem. I don't want you telling me what I need to do, right? So even though we might want to submit, submitting to certain people in authority also doesn't reveal a desire to submit to God. Because to not submit to your boss wouldn't be advantageous to us, right? Because you lose your job, you can't make any money. So it's possible I'm very obedient to my boss because I love money, the prestige, recognition, and the title it brings me. And I rebel against whoever I think doesn't benefit me. So I'm selective in my submission. So in a society where everyone wants to be their own boss, right? I don't want to work for anybody. I want to be my own boss. There's a failure to understand that the reality of authority is needed. And we need to learn submission for our own benefit. And if we don't, all of that thought of submission dies. Because the only way we think we're happy is by doing whatever we want when we want. Now think about, you know, we like to beat up on young people and teenagers, but think about anyone who wants their own independence. All of us are like this, whether you're married or not. I want my own independence. I don't want to have to submit to nobody. That's just not a teenage thing. That's a rebellion thing. Now think about this concept, and I'm going to show you this. Think about this concept, how we relate to God. As someone we follow and reflect in his light and submitting to his word as authority. Because the word is something we cannot manipulate and think will reflect anything godly at all. What we will reveal is how we are naturally rebellious and manipulative and controlling. So God says the only way we keep from manipulating people to be under our authority is to reflect him by submitting under the word and truth as the authority. Letting God reign and his witness reign and change hearts for people. Because without God's spirit and truth being the agent of change, control, you start to look like a tyrant. What we try and do, we begin to look like a controlling tyrant without God's spirit. So think about this. If we know we struggle a lot with God, that we're a mess, right? Why would anyone have confidence in submitting to our authority? So we need submission to God for our own security and for others under our security, right? Because I reflect Christ, my confidence is in God, not my ability. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to make you submit to anything. But if I'm submitting to God, I know my confidence is in God to change you or do whatever he needs to do. It's not in my ability. So in being a light, like God, we want people to want to submit to what is right. We want them to have the heart to want to submit, not to have to manipulate and control them to do it. Because to want to submit to is a heart issue that only God has control over. So I must reflect his light and pray he changes people's hearts by my influence. Now the challenge is, how do I cultivate this influence? And that's what we're going to talk about today. How do I cultivate this influence to be a reflection of light that people are affected by my witness and testimony of Jesus Christ, my walk with God, right? Because in the backdrop of this, Jesus is arguing with the religious Jews over his witness of being the Son of God. Because what reveals in them is their rejection of him through their own pride. Their pride can't allow them to submit to Jesus as a truth because they're too busy upholding their own image. I don't want to submit to yours, Jesus. I got my own. So think about this. When we uphold our own image over what is true, we are more concerned with our ego, our image, than Jesus Christ, right? Which means I can't accept the word of truth because I'm going to just go with what accentuates my ego. So I'm in bondage, really, to a lie. And that's why you see today, hashtag live your own truth. And you remember when Pilate asked Jesus, or Jesus testified, and Pilate said, what is truth? He had no standard because they weren't submitted to Jesus at all, didn't believe in God at all in that way, the truth, the way, and the life. So truth is whatever you do, and young people know this well, that's because it's proliferated throughout society, whatever you do, live your truth because there is no standard if Jesus is not. So in defending our freedom, are we defending freedom in Christ or are we rejecting it? Look at how Jesus deals with these Jews. John 8:31-32. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him. So there were some that believed, right? He says to them, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples and you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Now abide means to stay or remain in. Remain in. Now, Jesus was speaking the truth and testifying to what was right, and some Jews believed, right? Yet some Jews were rejecting him, the Pharisees, and stayed in bondage to their own pride and denial of the truth. Now, I ask you this, what is your relationship to God's word? See, the way I treat the word right now in my life, is it freeing me or keeping me in bondage, right? See, though I struggle in bondage, if I'm abiding, which means to remain, I'm declaring the word to be right. So you could be struggling in something and saying, God, I'm struggling, but you're right. That's the difference between someone who's struggling to fight for the truth and these religious Pharisees who says, that's not the truth. They're not struggling at all. They're justifying their own behavior. So I question this. Am I justifying what I like to do and submitted to no one? I declare what is true for me. There's no submission to the word of Jesus. Living my own truth in stubborn pride. That's what that becomes. Because the promise that Jesus makes in reference to his word is that submission to it leads to truth and freedom. So he's saying that so we don't have to create a lie and justify our image and the things we like to do that doesn't coincide with freedom. So we redefine freedom like the world does. And you're trying to justify what I do, and Christians are justified by what? Faith, which is truth. So the word reveals in me what is right and wrong, and my submission to that affirms God as my authority. So even if I'm adhering to other people, it's got to be rooted in what's true. I want to be influenced by what's true, what's right, what's uplifting towards God. So the benefit of this is where our true confidence, contentment, and freedom for ourselves stems from, right? If I'm submitted to God, this is where all my contentment, my confidence comes from. Because if God is not disturbing my conscience, which is my behavior and the way I think, the Bible calls me blameless. If I'm free of that, I'm free of guilt. So I can rest secure. That's what Jesus is trying to get at when he says, I want you to abide in the truth. Because I want you to rest free that I'm with you in this. Because you're submitted unto me. 1 John 3:20 says this in 22. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. So if I'm found to have confidence before God, then I'm secure in who I am and what I'm doing. This is why we suffer as Christians and persecution comes about. Because a person may not agree with our submission to the word. And they fight us over their desire to persuade us in their own truth, right? They have their own truth. We're trying to submit to God. They're fighting us in what they believe. There comes the persecution. And we could be the other way around. We could be the ones fighting against the truth as Christians. So our persecution comes from them fighting us in the pride of their own heart, right? If we are blameless. That's why I have to be humble and make sure I'm not trying to just win an argument. Am I right before God? Because if I'm right before God, I can stand in confidence knowing that God backs me. Not my argument and how loud I can be or how angry I can be and how intimidating I can be. God is backing me, so I don't have to fight you over it. I can rest in peace and contentment with the truth. And here's the goal. If I'm confident before God, if I'm confident, I'm not submitting to what others think or how you feel. I may empathize. I think we should empathize as Christians. But I stand in truth because it's beneficial for you to submit to the Lord, right? The person we're dealing with, it's beneficial for me to stand in truth and you, even though you may not agree with me. Because wrong must come to right. That's how we make a difference. That wrong has to come from right. So standing involves the courageousness from the Spirit to stand in the truth. This is exactly what Jesus was dealing with in their refusal to believe him. He is seen as a liar, like Pastor Alan pointed out, and persecuted because they're determined to be stubborn against the truth while defending their own lie. So we got to look at some of the justifications we make in fighting against the truth. Let's look at John 8:33. The justifications we make in fighting against the truth. John 8:33. It said, they answered him, we are offsprings of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. Now, the Pharisees at this point, because they won't submit to God and Jesus at all, they're looking to establish their own righteousness, right? Which keeps them from having to submit to Jesus at all. They want to keep their image and define it as right. They're convinced of something that's not right at all. This is the epitome of stubbornness. We've seen this before. This is the epitome of stubbornness. To be stubborn biblically is to be steadfast in what is not right or submitted to God. Whereas standing in truth has support from God. So people are fighting God. Think about the Apostle Paul. Remember when he was dragging out Christians and getting them? He believed sincerely he was doing the work of God. But Jesus had to show him in a vision. He said, why are you kicking against the ox goads? Because he revealed to him, you're actually fighting against me, Paul. See, stubbornness has no support from God. And stubbornness can be so to the point you become resistant and irrational and unreasonable. I'm certain Paul was serving God in his mind, but I'm killing Christians. That's irrational. But he wasn't submitted to Jesus Christ. This is what we find in Christianity today that rejects the authority of the word. We try and establish it ourselves as godly, but we have lost the courage to stand with Jesus in his word. So when we remove the authority of the truth because it's too offensive to people today, we do that and we become the authority, which means you're no longer a church. Because Jesus is the chief shepherd of the church. And if you remove Jesus and the truth, then what do you have? Nothing. We call it a church, but we're dead, like the Bible says, while acting like we're alive. The truth has to be forefront, because that's what exalts Jesus. So in verses 34 and 35, listen to how Jesus never deals with their argument. This is fascinating, because he deals with their reality when he says, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. See, he's saying in removing his authority and submission to him, we remain slaves to sin. You can call it whatever you want, he says, but if you're not submitted to me, you're still a slave to your issues. Jesus is begging the question, how has doing things your own way, rebellion, and justifying your image benefiting you? That's all he's asking when we walk away from him and rebel against his truth. because we stay a slave to the sin in our own stubbornness. See, Jesus is never dealing with the surface of who they are, because they made justifications for that. We're offsprings of Abraham. We're godly. They have their own justifications that they're living by, believing a lie. But what they can't hide from and justify is their bondage and sin and a need to be free from it, free with the truth. They can't hide from that. And I say for us, eventually, whatever it is we are covering up and bound to, it will come out for us to identify. Not necessarily for other people to find out. A lot of times we've been scared of that. Really, God points it out for us to identify it and ask us the question, are you justifying this? Or are you submitted to my truth, abiding in my word? Yeah, you're struggling with it, but are you right? Or are you declaring me right and you want to be healed? Those who are not sick don't need a physician. So if I'm saying it's okay, I'm justifying and doing it, it's okay for me to treat them like that. It's okay for me to act like that because this, this, and this. God says that's justification. That's not submission to the truth. And you're stubborn and you can't change. You can't change. Here's the other part of that. And this is not to be callous in any way for things that people are responsible for doing to us that created hurts and pains. That's not where I'm getting at here. But the other issue of this is the wrong temptation we have is to blame people for bringing out of us or justifying the sins we hold on to. Because those they want to kill Jesus for bringing out of, for him bringing out of them their ungodliness. He starts revealing to them, you're not submitted to God. And they want to kill him. Say, they're saying, I'll kill him before I submit to him. I'll kill him before that. Now, this is where I'm talking about where we have the wrong temptation to blame people for bringing out ungodliness in us rather than identifying it and dealing with it. James 1, 13 and 14. He says this, let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. So you can't say to about God, like, God, why would you give me this job if you know I got a temptation to steal? God said, nah, that's not me. You can't blame me for you being in a situation that you don't want to take responsibility for and fight against. So if you've been tempted with evil, that's your own flesh. Here's the next verse that proves that. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Right? So this forces us to take responsibility for the sins and bondages people and situations bring out of us. Right? Yes, they did it. And they were wrong. Completely wrong. But God says, I want you healed. So look at it and come to me with it. So if certain people and temptation or situations tempt us to be jealous, prideful, arrogant, biased, lustful, whatever it is, God says there's one or two things you do. Remove yourself from the situation or go to God instead of blaming them. Because some people, even though you blame them, doesn't mean they'll accept it. And you may need, if you need them to say, okay, I'm sorry, I'm wrong for that and that, for you to get your healing, they may never do it. And you're left subject to someone who may have died and never said sorry. And God says, that's bondage. Living in bondage because they can't set you free. They can't set you free. So God says, remove yourself or come to me. This rings of freedom. Why does this ring of freedom? When we take responsibility. Because we're no longer victims in bondage of people and their actions. But can become free in Christ if we're abiding in his word and his spirit. That I don't need you to behave a certain way for me to be godly. That's powerful. Because how many times have we blamed kids or whatever it may be? I wouldn't have done that. I wouldn't have yelled at you if you didn't do that. But if I'm growing in God and I'm needing you to do a certain thing for me to get to where I need to go, but I'm abiding in God, I can be at peace and you do whatever you want. That's what Jesus is doing. They're looking to kill him and he's talking about, I'm just going to do what God called me to do. John 8, 13 and 14. This proves it even further. So the Pharisees said to him, "You are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true." Jesus answered, "Even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true." Because he's walking with God. "For I know where I come from and where I'm going, but you do not know where I come from or where I'm going." Here's the key. Here's where freedom and God is pointing us to. When we don't need people to testify to who we are, because God commends our walk with him. There's freedom there. That my life is not hinging on your rejection or acceptance of me. That's biblical freedom. That's Jesus. They don't believe his testimony about being God at all. But he's free. He's free because he knows he's supported by God. He's commended by God and what he's called to do. That's where our security lies. Because if that's not it, we live making justifications for our bondage. And we're ultimately insecure because our heart condemns us before God because we're not walking with him. The truth has to be the standard of what we're saying. And God is saying, we will remain shallow and live off the image of who we say we are and not accept the reality that I'm a sinner in need of truth and freedom. They were saying I'm offsprings of Abraham. They were in bondage. Instead of being submitted to God and humble to God and what he was telling them, I want you to be free in me, they chose otherwise. And Jesus left them there. They were living off the image and bondage of a lie and who they thought they were. Jesus was living off the truth and the reality of who he is, the truth, the way, and the life. So he had every right to diagnose them as slaves to sin. And this is what I was talking about earlier, that when we walk in the light, we reveal the darkness. We expose darkness. Truth reveals a lie, right? But if we don't abide in the truth, it's my authority versus your authority. That's where the arguments come from when we're not abiding in God and walking with God. See, I got to outdo you in authority. So it's a power struggle. Instead of me, if I'm submitted to God and trying to walk with God, it becomes God versus your stubbornness. And God wins out. God wins out every time. Because you're left convicted in your own heart with the lie you're trying to believe. And God says, that's why I want you walking with me. And you got to leave people alone who are convinced to walk in a lie. You can love them and walk with them and witness to them and all that kind of thing, but at the same time, be a light so you can show something different than what they're believing in. So the difference between living to grow in the image of Christ or justifying who we think we are is the answer to this question, Luke 9:20. Jesus comes to the disciples, Peter in particular, says this. Then he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered, "The Christ of God." Now, if Jesus is the authority, then submission to his word is priority over living to justify my own image and manipulate people for my own value. And as Christians, we're always struggling between the two. We'll always have that fight. I'm struggling to walk with God, or I'm struggling in my own ego to benefit myself in pride. And I'm going to conclude with this, the last scriptures he has. Why our perceived rebellion or perceived freedom is not enough. Why our perceived freedom is not enough. John 8:36-38. He says this, "If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are the offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have heard from your father." And he goes in, and their father is the devil. That's how plain Jesus lays it out for them later. See, Jesus rebukes them in establishing their own image that's not submitted to him because he wants them to give them freedom. So they're saying they're offspring of Abraham, but they're rejecting Jesus and they prove they're not godly. And God doesn't want us to define it. That's why God doesn't want us to define our own freedom, because it's got to be either you come up with something or you submit to me. So what is our definition in the world, and what sometimes as Christians, what does our definition of freedom look like? To do whatever I want, right? To do whatever I want. Because I have no one telling me what to do. I'm my own God. I'm free. And that goes back to Genesis in the garden. You will be like God. You'll be like God. That's the temptation ever since. So in verse 37, when you think about, you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you, That's an example of this is when we have, if you have children thinking that I don't have to listen to my parents. That's freedom to them who think like that. I want to be free and do my own thing. Or people getting divorces because I don't want to have to answer to no one. Because I don't want to submit to no one. I want to do whatever. I don't want to subject it to nobody. This goes back to that abiding mentality that if I'm abiding in the word, then what I think that's outside of the truth is not right. That's what God is saying. I may think it, I may struggle with it, but God is saying, no, that's not right. But the question is, am I saying that's not right? So is what Jesus says true about life? Because if we say what you're saying, God, is not right, Jesus said to them, my word finds no place in you. That's what the Holy Spirit in our heart is as Christians. When the word, the truth comes forth, he makes us wrestle with it because it's trying to find a place. And we have to accept it in our heart and say, even though I struggle with this justification I have, the word is telling me otherwise, you're right, Lord. That's an abiding mentality. But it's these ideals of freedom that proves Jesus' point that our definition is about rebellious pride. When we talk about freedom outside of God, it's rebellious pride. Because listening and subjecting myself to someone else and their desires is bondage. I'm not submitting to nobody, that's bondage. I'm not serving, that's bondage. And we wonder why selfishness reigns in society today. It's the idea of doing whatever I want that has caused our bondage. It's two things here. Whether that is how people raised us without God's word and spirit. I was raised without God's word and spirit in church, period. So I just observed stuff, what people was doing. They didn't have to tell me, LD, do this or LD, do that. I just saw how they operated, and I got that. And what did it do? Created bondage for me. Or you may have been raised in church, like my kids are getting raised, and decide, I'm not going to live that way. So I redefine freedom without living in submission to the truth. I don't want the truth. And I'm closing with this. Had these Jewish Pharisees lived submitted to Jesus as the truth, they would repent and find forgiveness. And what's in forgiveness? Freedom from guilt and shame and condemnation. But because they listen to themselves, they're influenced by sin, rebellion, and the devil, and stay in bondage. Remember this. Remember, if you think about it, Jesus' indictment to be crucified, that whole thing, they claimed to be, for him to be blasphemous, though he was true and right. They killed him because he was saying something that was true, right? They were offended because they wanted to protect what they believed. And I want to ask you, we all got something that the way we operate or the way we think, we protect it because it's precious to us. Maybe our parents thought that way. Maybe it comes from culture, whatever it may be, and we protect it like it's sacred. And God comes in with the truth and the Holy Spirit, and we get offended, not because it's small, but because we valued it. That's why people can leave churches and be hurt, even though you said something that was true, because something in their place of heart is valuable to me, even though it's wrong. So I had to do things back in my family and look at people I loved and cherished and looked up to and say, you were wrong. Now, I didn't tell them that, but I didn't submit to it and live like it and think they were right and continue to do it and pass it on to my kids. I had to get offended to do what's right. The truth offended what they believed about themselves. But here's the key. The Bible says we can do nothing against the truth, only for it. So though we hate it, oh, Jesus, they tried to kill him, they couldn't do nothing against it because it just rose up. And that's what I'm saying for us. The truth will just keep rising up. People will say, oh, that's wrong. I can't believe you thinking like that, this, that, and the third. But they can't do nothing against it because it's true. So the truth is what it is. We can either accept it and conform to it or live without it and persuade others to live under our truth and get our own following. So I'll end with this. Pilate and asked him, what is truth? This is the issue today. What is truth? Because the world sees that, well, what is truth? Because they're basically saying, who are you to put me in subjection to God? Right? But as Christians, here's where we won't make an impact. When we compromise with what they think about that. Because you won't stand against anything if you asking that question, what is truth? That's why Pilate didn't make, he just let the people determine. He didn't do nothing. He just said, oh, y'all want him to be crucified? Okay. Because he didn't stand for nothing. So when you get conviction, convinced of the truth, you stand and you get persecuted and people look at you crazy, or you have fights with people in your family that you love a lot because you stand for something that you know will benefit them later. That's what Jesus did for us. And we can look back and say all that stuff we thought about and did in our rebellious nature, and we thought it was wonderful. And we try and tell young people all the time, okay, don't do that. Don't do that. I did that before. Something like that. And we're trying to warn them. Because Jesus already did. He already said, look, freedom is here. And I want you to abide in that. Amen. Let's pray.